What a joy it is for Karen and me to be here at Belgreen. It's been a long time, but we're glad to be back. For the last little more than 3 years, I have not been doing located preaching work, that is working with just one congregation. I semi-retired a few years ago because I was having more problems with my feet and legs. Neuropathy, a special kind of neuropathy that's not pleasant to think about, but I'm doing quite well with it because of therapy that I took back then and am continuing on my own. So I'm trying to stay as agile and mobile as I can. But it is a joy to be with you. During the last 3 years or more, I've been preaching in gospel meetings, going about just about all the time, doing fill-in preaching when I was not gone somewhere in a meeting or on a trip like to Belize. In fact, Darrell Taylor first approached me about coming out here on a fifth Sunday, I believe it was, back in December of 2019 when Sister Norris's funeral had taken place. He asked me about that. I said, Darrell, I would love to come, but I'm already scheduled. Well, he contacted me a couple or three times this past year, same experience. I was scheduled. And he said, I guess I'm just going to have to call a little earlier next time. And I said, well, that might help. So he called in recent weeks, and I happened to have this week open. And I'm so happy and thankful that I did, that I can be with you this morning. As Jack has said, my roots go back to Belgreen. The Grahams live down in Grahamtown, as it was called at one time, down about Rockwood, and then later on out toward Cedar Creek, in fact, right out there in the middle of the lake, out in front of the Rustic Youth Camp, out in that area where they farmed before they moved to Florence because of getting jobs over at Reynolds back in the early 1940s, about 1940-41, I think it was. But we're just delighted to be back and to be with you. I'm also delighted to meet Brother Joe Hamm and his wife and children over here. I have not known them in the past. I've known her parents, the Murphys, Patty and Karen Murphy. And I've known Joe's family from the Hamilton area, including his granddaddy down here. But I had not met Joe and his wife or the children until this morning. But it's a delight to be with them. And I look forward to meeting others of you whom I don't know. There are not nearly as many faces out there familiar to me as there used to be. A lot of young people, and I'm delighted to see that. But I'm just saying I don't have the opportunity of knowing you yet, but I hope that we can meet later today. Some of you might know, a few might not know, that back in the spring of 1999, I began making preaching trips down to the country of Belize. Belize, of course, is the northernmost country in Central America. When you go south there on the Yucatan Peninsula, this is Mexico, and here's the Yucatan Peninsula. When you go south down there and you leave Mexico, right down here on the southeastern part is Belize, a very small country. When I went to Belize the first time, there were about 10 Christians, about 10. Now there are 100. Those 10 were a part of one congregation. Now those 100 are spread out in three different groups. So progress has been made, and I'm certainly not claiming credit for all that progress. I don't mean to imply that, but I'm just saying a lot of progress has been made. God has blessed the seed that has been sown there in Belize. For you who are a little older like I am, you might not have heard of Belize. Or if you heard of it, it was once called British Honduras. That's what it was when a lot of us were in school. British Honduras. We usually go in August and November My wife goes with me. She didn't go the first few times, but she'd been going a number of times now for a number of years. But we've made 27 trips there total since 1999. We go through these different cities that I'm not even going to mention by name as we go down to Belize, but usually there's just one stop. We leave Huntsville and stop in Atlanta or one other place, and then we're in Belize. The climate down there is quite tropical. They have frequent rains for the rainy season, a period of about 6 months. Little rain for the other 6 months. The rainy season starts in the spring, and it continues then till about early November in the fall. The highs are very similar to our highs here. And even the lows are similar to ours, but it's a lot more humid there than it is here. So I can tell a big difference. That humidity really exacts its toll, Bob. It takes it out of you as you get a little older. You're not able to do quite as much as you used to do, and yet I still try to stay just as busy as I can while we're down there. Belize is a country of about 350,000 people, close to the size of our state of Massachusetts. And I ask a question here because this is really my jumping off point for the lesson this morning. A brother in Christ, Bartolo, died, if I remember correctly, back in the year 2011. And I'm going to tell you a lot about Bartolo this morning. But I'm asking the question, are there other Bartolos among the people in Belize? Or even, to be more specific, are there some Bartolos here in the Bell Green congregation? That's why I want to talk to you today about the country of Belize. I give you here a little bit of view. There you see Central America until you get up to Mexico. Mexico is that orange, brownish orange, where it says Central America right across there. But Belize is right under that heading, Central America. That's the country where we go. It fronts on the Caribbean Sea. The country itself, here's the map. The country itself, we fly into Belize City. Belize City is in red, a little higher than halfway up, right on the coast. We go up through Crooked Tree and Shipyard area to Orange Walk and Corozal, and right in the middle of those two towns, there's a large rural village called San Narciso. Those are the locations of the three congregations that we work with. So I thought just a brief look at the map would help you see at least the places that are involved. Let me introduce you to a brother in Christ who no longer is among us in this world, but a dear brother, a brother by the name of Bartolo and his wife, Honoria. Just a lengthened form of spelling of our word honor, Honoria, like honored one. There, of course, we are. If I remember correctly, that's probably our first trip after Bartolo became a Christian. He was a Christian for 7 years. It goes back to about 2004 when he became a Christian. During those 7 years, though, he set a record that all of us would do well to imitate. And that's why I asked the question earlier, are there other Bartolos down there? Are there Bartolos here, even at Belgrade? Let me tell you about this brother and the evangelism story that is so delightful to relate regarding his becoming a Christian. Because it involves not only Bartolo, but about 10 others in his family who eventually became Christians. Now just imagine, that's the impact he had. And some of you might trace things back in your family like that. You might be able to tell the story of how grandparents or great-grandparents of yours obeyed the simple gospel of Jesus Christ and became a part of the Lord's church, and how generations yet unborn, but now generations existing, have benefited spiritually because of what happened two or three or even four generations ago. That's what we're talking about when I mention today Bartolo's story of evangelism. This brother at one time was a devout Roman Catholic. He was a stalwart member of the congregation there, the Catholic congregation in San Narciso. It's a large building and it's a large group because, like I said, that's a large rural village. But Bartolo was converted to Jesus Christ. He left the man-made teachings and traditions of men behind and became a simple New Testament Christian, a part of the Lord's church. He was middle-aged at the time of his conversion, about 40, maybe 39, and lived to about 46 or 47. He didn't have the advantage that a lot of us have had, that is, he didn't grow up with parents as Christians. He didn't grow up in the church, as we sometimes say. But he developed and manifested an amazing zeal for Jesus Christ and the gospel. Zeal can be a tricky thing. In fact, zeal can be a dangerous thing. Because Paul said in Romans 10, the early verses, that zeal without knowledge, like his brethren had, he said, I bear them record that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Zeal without knowledge is not guided well, you see. It's misguided. And it's liable to do and believe and practice just anything that comes up to the person's mind when it's not guided by knowledge. But on the other hand, knowledge without zeal is just as disastrous, because knowledge without zeal tends to put people into a state of spiritual stupor or put them to sleep spiritually, so that their zeal needs to be awakened from the dead, as it were. But when those two are found together, working hand in hand, God's will can be accomplished and great things can happen in the lives of those people thus characterized. This man was a respectable person in his community. He was well respected by his neighbors. He was known to be an honest and upright individual there in San Narciso and in his family, and eventually in the church. May I suggest to you that Bartolo became just what Jesus intended him to become. When Jesus was teaching the Sermon on the Mount, he was doing two things. He was showing the people the mistakes of their past as they held to some of their traditions, even the traditions of men. Not everything that they believed and practiced in Judaism of the first century came from the law of Moses. First century Judaism was an expansion of the law of Moses, really. It included the traditions of the elders, the traditions of men. And so Jesus had to show them what was going on that was wrong, but he also was transitioning and thus paving the way for that new spiritual kingdom. And that's why in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, he refers several times to the kingdom that was coming. Because he's not content to let them rest where they were, but rather is trying to get them ready for that kingdom that is coming. And in chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, Jesus tells them precisely what their role is going to be in that new kingdom. He said, you're the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its flavor, what good is it except to be thrown out and trodden under the foot of men? And then he said, also, you are the light of the world. And then he expanded on that and said, let your light therefore so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Salt and light, that's your role. That's my role. That's the role of every kingdom citizen. And I'll tell you, if our salt doesn't taste good to others, if our light is not showing others the way, there's something wrong with us. We need to make changes. You know what causes salt to lose its flavor? It takes on, it attracts the odors and the fragrances of its surroundings. That's how salt changes its flavor. And that's how Christians become no good as salt. When they attract the flavors of the world around them. When they just begin to blend in and are not the distinctive flavor that Christians ought to be. They're in trouble. And I am too. I'm not just talking about you. If we're not the salt of the earth, if we're not the light of the world, we're not doing what Jesus assigned us to do. Bartolo, though, was the salt of the earth and the light of the world. You know, you can't be passive as salt. You can't be passive as light. You have to activate yourself. You have to be found doing. You have to be found saying. You have to be found teaching. In other words, your faith must be on display. Like the people of Hebrews 11. How many times do you read in that chapter, by faith so-and-so did something? It never says by faith he was or by faith she was. It says, by faith, they did something. That's what faith does. It displays itself as the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Don't be satisfied to be a bystander. Make a difference in the lives of those around you, those that you contact from day to day. Here's Brother Bartolo over on the far right next to the wall there, wearing the light green shirt. And those are what I call Belizean shirts. They're long shirts. They come out over the pants. Of course, they're short sleeve. They're loose fitting, light material because of the hot and humid weather down there. And I wear them too when I'm down there. I wear them up here sometimes. Sometimes I even wear them to school. I still go and teach 1 hour each morning. And the students will talk about my shirt from Belize. Well, this is Bartolo. Sitting over. And this is the congregation at San Narciso on a certain Sunday back years ago. I want to call your attention to a woman sitting on the back wall of that group. A small woman, white haired, wearing pink, a pink dress. Do you see her? She's close to the middle, not exactly the middle, a little bit left of the middle. That's Bartolo's mother. Now, she's going to be important in what I'm going to tell you a little bit later. Here's Bartolo after a service one day. He was taking care of the communion ware, but he was greeting a visitor. That's the way he was. He delighted to see visitors come. And they didn't get away without Bartolo having some time with them, telling them that he was happy to have them. What about us? Are we hospitable? That is, do we warmly receive visitors? Bartolo, in fact, was what I like to think of as a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord or in the house of God. In the book of Psalms, at chapter 84, in verse 10, I remember this statement being made by the psalmist. He said, for a day in your courts is better than 1,000. That is, a day spent in God's service is better than 1,000 days out of his service. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Bartolo was a doorkeeper. And by that, I don't mean that he literally and physically took his place at the door all the time. But he was a servant. He was a servant at heart. He was a servant willing and ready to do whatever needed to be done. And if we had a lot of doorkeepers in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we'd be a lot better off. People who stand ready to do whatever needs to be done that they're qualified or able to do. Bartolo was a humble brother. He didn't think too highly of himself. He was kind toward others, and kindness really is associated with humility, not with arrogance. He sought ways to serve, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And to give himself a ransom for many. Matthew 20, verse 28. He would come early on his bicycle. Never owned a car. Reminds me of my granddaddy. Even after granddaddy and grandmother Graham got Florence, he never owned a car. Had to be picked up to go to church. Had to ride with somebody else to work. Never owned a car, though, Bartolo. On the bicycle. He'd open the building even when he was sick. That didn't keep him. And I'm not talking about when he was deathly sick, but when he was just a little bit sick, he would come. He would be there and he would open up. He would take the broom and he would sweep the floors. If he saw that they'd gotten a little dirty, he'd sweep them. He would greet the visitors. He taught lessons from God's word. He looked forward to opportunities that he had as he took his turn among the brothers there, teaching the congregation. He would lead singing, and often as he would be ready to lead a song, he would exhort the congregation to pay attention to something in the song, some special statement. And he would use that as a point of teaching and encouragement. Sometimes he even had to rebuke. I'm sure he didn't enjoy that. None of us does, really. But if he had to, he would do it. But he did it in kindness. The people being rebuked knew that Bartolo didn't enjoy it. And that made his rebuke even better received. He would go out and hand out tracts to his neighbors when they were getting ready for a gospel meeting. And some of the time when I go down there, they'll say, Brother Bobby, we just want to have a meeting this time. We want to have a general gospel meeting to invite the people of the community, the lost, to come. And that's a wonderful thing to do. Well, he would be among those who would go out handing out flyers, advertising the meeting, or maybe little pamphlets that had been prepared, dealing with the theme or the main idea of the gospel meeting. He would do that. He was a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. He was a translator, even there in the congregation, he would translate. There at San Narciso, the services are bilingual. They'll have announcements in Spanish and then in English. They'll have a brother up translating. Same way with prayers. Same way with the comments at the Lord's table. Same way with the lesson. They'll have bilingual. Well, Bartolo would translate. And then while Greg was down there, Greg Whipple, preaching in the area, Greg sometimes would have a study with somebody who was of Mayan descent, the ancient Mayan Indians. He would need somebody to go with him because they didn't speak too good when it came to Spanish. Well, Bartolo was Mayan in descent, and he knew the Mayan tongue well enough that he could go with Greg and help him to translate. You see, he's a servant at heart. He was looking for opportunities to serve. I don't know what's happening here. Maybe I hit something I wasn't supposed to hit. He led singing often. And whenever I was going to be down there, he would ask me, "Brother Bobby, are we going to have a singing class this time?" Well, I'm not the best song leader, but I can lead singing. And I never turned him down. And he would tell me in advance, he says, "Now, here's a song in Spanish I want you to lead." Well, there again, I'm not proficient enough in Spanish that I trust myself to preach in it. I just won't do it. But I will lead a song in Spanish. And sometimes it involves learning the song, the Spanish song. So we would have songs or singing class when I was down there. He would work around the church building, whether putting up a sign or painting or doing just whatever needed to be done. But here's the real clincher. Here is where the salt and the light really came together. The rest of his life paid off when he had the opportunities to teach the gospel to people. And he talked to his family. He converted his own wife, Noria, his mother, Aniceta, the one you saw there in pink at the back of the building, his son, Carlos, his daughter, Ruby, his granddaughter, and probably by now more granddaughters have obeyed the gospel as a result of him. Not that he's around to teach them, but by those who are converted by him. A daughter-in-law, a nephew, Gregorio, or Greg as we would call him, and his wife. She obeyed after Bartolo's wife, death, but it was largely through his influence that she came across to become a Christian. You see, Bartolo wanted to serve the Lord. He wanted to go to heaven. And he was trying to take as many with him as he could. Now that little mother, Aniceta, that you saw there at the back wearing the pink dress with the white hair, she opposed him becoming a Christian. Greg Whipple moved down there, and it wasn't long till he was over at Bartolo's house because Bartolo was interested in having a Bible study. He'd not become a Christian at that point. Greg went to the door, knocked. Who came to the door? Aniceta, his mother. Greg said, "I'm here to study the Bible with Bartolo." She said, "He is not here." And when she said that, she was telling a lie. He was there. He was out back behind the house. She didn't want him to study, though, because she was a strong Catholic herself, and she was shielding or protecting her son, as most mothers would do. It's understandable. I'm not saying she did right to tell lies. She did wrong. But it's understandable that that would happen. She said, "He's gone." And then, of course, she ran away. Greg later on made that study good and taught Bartolo the truth and converted him to the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to be appreciated by the brethren and much missed after his death in 2011. Bartolo's mother, Aniceta, was among those whom he converted. You noticed that up there earlier. After wife came mother. A few years later, she came across. She gave up the doctrines and the traditions of men to become a simple New Testament Christian. Brothers and sisters in Christ, why am I telling you these things? Not just to inform you, yes, information is necessary. But on the basis of this kind of information, I'm trying to motivate us all to be as our brother in Christ, Bartolo, was. I'm challenging all of us to realize what our abilities are. Each one of us can do something or teach somebody or influence somebody that nobody else here even knows. So we have individual opportunities, you see, that others don't share. So that's what I'm talking about. What are we doing? Are we the salt and are we the light? He lived as a Christian and served God as a Christian for 7 years, but what an impact he made. Here's Bartolo at the front of the auditorium, in front of the building down there with some others who shared the teaching responsibilities. There's Greg Whipple on the far right. Abraham, who's there, a dear and devoted brother, servant of Christ. Bartolo and then Giovanni over on the far left. There he is again. You're able to look into his face, the face of a humble servant, a doorkeeper in the house. Look, there's his wife and his daughter holding the baby and their grandchildren. This was just the beginning of those who later were influenced by him or by those whom he influenced and taught. In November of 2010, Karen and I were down there. We were there on Sunday afternoon when they meet. They usually meet for about a 45 to 50 minute period of Bible study, and then they have about an hour and a half service. Sometimes it takes that long because of translation. But we were there that afternoon, and Bartolo announced at the close of service when he was leading the singing that he would be leaving later that night with Greg to go up to Mexico City for treatments. He had developed leukemia. He'd already made a trip up there. But on this trip, he was getting so weak that Greg said, "Bobby, I just couldn't stand to see him go by himself. I had to go with him to help him out, make sure that it went well." But before he left, here's a statement that he made to the congregation. He said, "Even if I have to crawl to get here, when I come back home, I will be here." That was his faith in the Lord. That was his courage. That was his determination to serve God and to do what he knew he ought to be doing, not just for his own sake, but for the benefit of others as well. That's Brother Bartolo. Bartolo Dominguez. He truly was a disciple in my estimation. He was one who was willing to deny self, take up his cross, and follow Jesus Christ. I ask you today, does that characterize your life? Do you have that kind of heart? Do you have the heart of a servant, one who truly wants to serve under the rule, the authority, the mastership of Jesus Christ? If so, then I encourage you, keep doing that. On the other hand, if you've not started serving, you've not yet made that crucial decision to place yourself under his rule, under his authority, to enter his kingdom, to be a part of his church, make up your mind to do that soon. Even today, if you understand what you need to do, put your faith in Jesus Christ, the risen and reigning Lord. Repent of all your sins. Come to confess the sweet name of Jesus, that you might be baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. And then serve the Lord. Every day, find something that you can do to be his servant. Would you do that? If you've strayed from the Lord, you're not serving as you ought, why not in repentance come back home? Come back acknowledging your sins, asking God's forgiveness as his child. And do it now, even while we stand and while we sing the song announced.